house, I bow my knees. A posture of prayer. Prayer is to your spirit what the respiratory system is to your body. Now, who they pray? They breathe. When you pray, you receive heavenly allocations. When you pray, you are refreshed. When you pray, you are rejuvenated. When you pray, you are revived. This is how we prevail. Be found alone. Find someone alone. Lepopati keputo. Kishema. Ordain you as a prophet to the nations. To tear down. To kick down. To destroy. He said, and to build. Skipa. How will you do it? Prayer. For this course, I bow my knees. Come to the second half of the year. And listen, in this second half, you will experience supernatural encouragement. I said, Jehovah will encourage you in the name of the Lord Jesus. It will be a time of divine visitations. It is church sleeping. I say it will be a time of divine visitations. It will be a season of encounters of the God kind. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. All right. Today is not a secret anymore. Today we'll begin a teaching on prayer. Prayer is one of the greatest privileges of man, actually. That the monarch of the universe will invite you to fellowship, will invite you to approach him to make a request is an honor. It's a great honor and a great privilege. Never forget that. One of the greatest privileges on earth, especially for the believer, is the privilege of prayer. It's an honor and it's a privilege. And another beautiful thing is the fact that you can be taught to maximize this privilege. You can be taught and trained to maximize the privilege of prayer. And yes, what I'm simply saying is prayer can be taught. Hallelujah. Prayer can be taught. You can be taught and trained to pray effectively. Like every other spiritual thing. In St. Luke's Gospel chapter 11 is a chapter of the Gospels we have read again and again. You know, it began by the disciples of Jesus approaching him and saying, Master, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. Two things there. You see, they had observed. The Jews were not aliens to prayer. These guys were raised as practicing Judaism. So they knew about prayers. They knew about prayers. In fact, they told him as John taught his disciples to pray. Now, that means... Listen, before John and Jesus showed up on the scene, they had Pharisees, they had teachers of the law, they had Levites who taught and modeled prayers to them. Praise God. So prayer was not alien, but there was something about John. He had results. Are you with me? Don't forget that he was from the lineage of priesthood. He was the son of Zechariah, the high priest. But By the power and the type of his own ordination, he couldn't stay in the temple carrying a professional priesthood. The spirit of Elijah came upon him. And that spirit drove him to the wilderness to fulfill that which was written by the prophet Isaiah. Talking about a voice crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. But his ministry was not without remarkable endorsement from heaven. Read it. The Bible says Jerusalem went to him. Yes, Ananias and Cephas were in the temple practicing professional priesthood. In the temple in Jerusalem. But men left the temple and migrated into the wilderness to hear a man who was insulting them. He had results. That means there was breath in his words. There was divine evidence upon the work of his hands. Are you with me? So that was what his own disciples saw. And they asked him to teach them to pray. And he taught them to pray. Now the disciples of Jesus saw that as a good frame of reference. And they met him say, Master, teach us to pray like John taught his disciples to pray. That is like the Pharisees taught their disciples to pray because they didn't have results. They couldn't manifest God. They couldn't reveal God. But looking at Jesus, they knew he was a living impression. Yes, of Adonai. You couldn't look at Jesus and doubt him. When he spoke, there was weight in his words. On a particular day, they sent soldiers to arrest him. When the God that they sat down to hear, as they were hearing, there was so much glory, so much power, so much utterance. I mean, his communication was energized by the Spirit. When they returned, they said, no man speak like him. No man speak like him. This was the Jesus. Yes, they teach us to pray. The second thing is, Jesus didn't say, well, this prayer thing, you have to learn it by yourself. You know, this prayer thing is personal, is by the Spirit. No, he taught them to pray. He didn't say, okay, just go and pray. You will learn it as you pray. No, there's a place for that. But what Jesus did was to lay the foundation, as it were, the framework for an effective prayer life. Also, he laid out there and gave it to them. He says, when you pray, say, Our Father. And I told you last week that that's the beginning of the prayer life. That's the beginning of productive prayer. That an effective or an authentic prayer to God begins with an authentic picture of God. That he is Father who is inviting you. He's not overcoming. You see, I believe it was it Spurgeon who said it. He said prayer was not designed, I'm paraphrasing now, to overcome the unwillingness of God. No, prayer is a call to lay hold on God's willingness to perform. Why? He is Abba. He is Father. So when you hear prayer, you are not burdened. Burdened, context specific. You are not afraid. When you hear prayer, there's no sense of, you know, we grew up in different backgrounds, different circles. And in certain places, when prayer is mentioned, I mean, if you grew up in a house where prayer was used to punish you, not because you were praying, when you wanted to sleep, they forced you to sleep. I mean, they force you to pray. You may grow up hating the idea of prayer because you see it as something that takes away your pleasure. But as you are taught that, look, prayer is a great invitation. Prayer is the great privilege. Prayer, is the great honor that the monarch of the universe will employ, admit, invite you to come fellowship with him, to come make your request known. What an honor. It begins to change your perspective. And that was where Jesus started from, Our Father. He laid the framework. First of fellowship, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That's the fellowship, worship. Thy kingdom come. That's the second part. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in the earth, as it is in heaven. Then the third part was asking for things. Give us these days our daily bread. In that framework, we see God's mind, the mind of the master concerning how to approach prayer. So he taught his disciples how to pray. Now, that did not suggest that the only prayer a Christian should pray should be, well, Jesus said, when you pray, say, then all your prayers. And unfortunately, there are people who have that paradigm about prayer all around the world. And it's wrong. So they are saying, well, this is how Jesus said to pray. So they come in the morning, can we say a prayer? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. Give us this, as it is in heaven. Give us this is our daily bread. Lead us into temptation. Amen. I've even forgotten. Amen. Hallelujah. Deliver us from all evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And they go out. That is not what Jesus is saying. He was showing a pattern of prayer. So when you call such people for total immersion, they are wondering, what are you going to see? What Jesus said, we should pray. We'll just take 10 minutes. If I have 5 minutes, if you are fast, 3 minutes, and you are done praying. What is all this prayer about? You will find out. You're already finding out, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
That Jesus gave them a pattern and then they went to pray. In Acts 4, when the apostles were persecuted and they returned to their company to pray, did they recite Jesus' prayer? No. The Bible said they lifted up their voices and they began to pray. First, they prayed in tongues. What about Peter? When James was taken and killed, and Herod took Peter also, the Bible said, he said the church prayer was made We will make prayer this month. We'll get there. I call it incessant prayer. Only food and sleep will stop you from praying. Have you ever prayed like that? Let me not go ahead of myself. He said prayer was made without season. Is it a lost prayer they were praying? No. They were Holy Ghost rising. Divra bakika tustalia taya. Oste emando kuskete. Shtale probeti geduskepa. Shtalamande koskile prunde sista. And shta. Sometimes they prayed until they couldn't talk anymore. He wasn't a lost prayer. That was the template. What we call the lost prayer. Now, Jesus didn't say, when I pray, this is what I say. Mm-mm. He said, when you pray, follow this pattern. So prayer can be taught so that you can maximize this great honor and privilege. Hallelujah. Are you with me? Can I get an amen? Thank you, Lord Jesus. And you see, anywhere prayer is properly taught, accurately taught, and excellently modeled, people love to pray. And people receive the answers to their prayers. Now, if you are here, I know as a body we love to pray. We love to pray. But peradventure you are here, and the sound of prayer still gives you burden. Chances are you are not taught properly. And you've not had the privilege of watching people model prayer to you, teach you and model prayer to you. And that's why I'm saying what I'm saying. That prayer is truly taught accurately. People will love to pray. And they will have results to their prayers. Hallelujah. All right, so what's this month for? This teaching is about helping you upgrade your prayer life. One. And number two, helping you multiply the impact or the results of your prayers by precepts and examples. And truly this month, there will be an outburst of the move of the Spirit in our lives, in our homes, in our church, and in our cities, in the name of the Lord Jesus. You know, Kenneth Copeland says, every failure in the believer's life or enterprise is a prayer failure. And I agree. I've told you before. You see, that prayer is the key, or the hand that holds the key. Are you with me? Paul says in Philippians chapter 4 verse 6, he said, but in everything, in how many things? Talk to me, in how many things? In everything, by prayer and supplication and thanksgiving. He says, make your request known unto God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Today, we'll be teaching on, for this cause I bow my knees. And the essence of this introductory teaching is to give you a strong why. We have started already, actually. Is to give you a strong why for prayer. That's the essence. And to inoculate you with a prayer fire. You go home and be praying. It's already happening to some of you. Hallelujah. Now, Ephesians, maybe put it up. Ephesians 4, 6. Ephesians 3. Ephesians 3, 14. Ephesians 3:14. Paul says, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus. For this reason I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus. Paul found a reason to pray. That's what he's saying here. You see, there's no such thing as, well, I am not a prayer warrior. I am not a prayer mantis. Whatever that means. You know, they got that from praying mantis. Hallelujah. I'm not called to the ministry of prayer. This prayer thing is not my own. It's not my thing. There's no such thing. If you truly find a strong why, you will pray. When a believer is tired of status quo and you know that God answers prayers, you will pray.
For me, you see, believers don't pray. I've given a reason already, because some of them are not taught how to pray, and they have not found true models like John and Jesus, right? In those days. Glory to God. That's one of the reasons. Another reason is the fact that people are not persuaded about the possibilities and the power of prayer. The day you are persuaded about the fatherhood of God, that God answers prayers, you are persuaded about the power that prayer can generate, you are persuaded about the possibilities of prayer, you will pray. Listen, Anna did not need to be a prayer warrior. She was tired of the shame and the mockery of Penina. And that tiredness caused a prayer response. She prayed until the pastor, imagine pastor, you prayed until the pastor didn't know the motions of prayer. That means she prayed more than Eli had prayed. That's what I meant. Amen. Did you get that? You see, there's a way you pray, and it will show on the outside in the motions of your body. When the pastor came, who's the Eli? I'm talking about the priest. Before you say, was there a pastor then? Eli, the priest, priests were pastors. Are you with me? When Eli came, Eli thought that the woman was drunk. He said, oh, this woman, you came to Shiloh drunk. You are drinking in the morning. What's the problem? She said, ah, pastor, I'm not drunk. It is prayer. I'm pouring out my heart. She was not a priest. She was not a prophet. But she found a cause to bow her knees. Paul says, for this cause, I bow my knees. What reason have you found for prayer? Are you persuaded about the power and the possibilities of prayer? Do you truly believe that that situation, if you truly enter into a place, into the place of prayer, Ayakapatosia, Imantukapa, and this is not coming, it's okay. You know, there are people who claim they are fasting concerning situation, and they spend the whole day walking, watching movie, reading the news, scrolling on Instagram and Facebook, and then in the evening, when they feel hungry, they say, Lord, sekebo, sekebo, lige brevado, sekebrekebo, sekebo, sekebo. That one, they may spend 1 hour praying, but nothing serious. It doesn't touch their heart. They may mark the time. By 6, I'll pray to 7, or 5 to 6, so that I can break at 6. I'm sure you've been there before. Then they say a missed call. No. I'll call you, I'm praying. Or your phone is closed and you are texting. I'm praying, I'll call you back. And you have a matter before you that you want to settle. You don't believe in prayer. Or you don't understand the kind of prayer that will shape the situation. And then 3 minutes, you just play worship song. Oh Lord, he said, pastor said we should praise it away. That lie. That lie. See, Paul and Silas, they prayed and praised. You know, I'll touch on that in 2 weeks. Let me tell you, Paul and Silas, it wasn't because they prayed and pastors. Okay, let's start praising. No, they prayed until the body lifted and they began to praise. Oh, you didn't get that. They prayed the heaviness until they were light, and then joy welled up from within them and they began to sing praises. They prayed until the heavens broke. That praise was a response of thanksgiving. Are you with me? To the burden that was lifted, to the heaviness that God dissipated. That also happened. So not spending 1 hour and then you just sing some song and say, sekebo, sekebo. Fellowship with your phone. No. How important is the cost to you? How important is the cost to you? For this cause, I bow my knees. I bow my knees. When you want to change, you will make sacrifices. When you want to change and you are persuaded about the possibilities of prayer, about the power of prayer, about the blessings of prayer, you will pray. I want you to catch a strong why in this service. Paul says, for this cause, I bow my knees, a posture of prayer for this cause. For some of you, it's because of your destiny. Your destiny. There are things God told you years ago, but you know, if you don't, you know nothing is happening. Let's start from there. You know, when you look at where you are and the pictures you have seen, you know there has to be a bridge. What I'm saying is that bridge is prayer. That bridge is the cause you will find to bow your knees. Some of you came from families where poverty has played everybody like Ludo. And now you have heard the gospel. You know that with God all things are possible. It will be unfair for you to laugh and smile and joke your way through life and not make a mark. Some of you know that God has raised you as a priest, as a prophet over the family. You may not be the firstborn, the secondborn, the thirdborn, but you know in your Noah that God has raised you as a priest, as a covering over that house. That is a cause for which to bow your knees. You can't eat and drink your way all to life and let affliction set up his headquarters in the house. No. For this cause, I bow my knees. If there is a man that will pray, there is a God that will answer. Let's go into the scriptures. James 5, 16. Psalm 65, 2. Very quickly. He said, confess. Amplified translation is there. Amplified translation. Amplified classic. He said, confess to one and all that therefore your faults, your sleeps, your false steps, your offenses, your sins. That means when you hurt people, you did the wrong thing, confess to them. That's what he's saying. Say, I'm sorry. That's what he's saying. He said, pray also that for one another that I may be restored, healed and restored, spiritual tone of mind and heart. The B part, which is where we're going. He says, the earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. He's telling you about the possibilities and the power of prayer. That's what he's saying. That when you pray earnestly and the prayer is heartfelt and is intense and is consistent and continued, power will be made available. That's what he's saying. So if you believe this, you will pray. Psalm 65 verse 2. Psalm 65 verse 2, then Psalm 34, 17 to 19. Quickly. Read it for me. One to go. Everybody, read it for me. One to go. Oh, thou that hearest prayers. He's not deaf when people pray. God hears. God hears. Are you persuaded that he hears? You can come with your petition. Of course, following the rules of prayer. He said, all thou that hearest prayers, unto thee shall all flesh come. Give me, do you have Young's literal translation? YLT. Akebetosika. M Shekepra. Entokapa. You don't have it. Go to the next scripture. Go to the next scripture. Very fast. Next scripture. Jesus. Jesus. For this cause I bow my knees. You see, hear my voice, O God, in my prayers. Preserve my life from Psalm 34, 17 to 19. Ila kopetosika. Ayanaleko seba dele kayosa antebora pakaya. Just a moment. 65 verse 2, right? I want to read Young's literal translation. I think I saw something there. Okay. He said, the righteous cry and the Lord hears. He hears and delivers them out of how many? All their troubles. I'm trying to pitch to you a strong why. These scriptures are a testament that God hears and answers prayers. And if there is a believer who can pray, God will always answer. By blood covenant, his side of the deal is sealed. Are you here? Keep reading. We're reading to 9. 12. We're reading to 19. The Lord is now unto them that are broken of broken heart, that's contrite spirit. Save such of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He shows us the way. He said, the righteous cry unto the Lord. He's not delivering them without prayer. Do you understand? That's why we read it from 17. He gives you a context. When you are reading the Bible, understand the context of the verses. He said, the righteous will cry. Verse 17. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth. He said, many are the afflictions of that same righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. The pathway to that deliverance is prayer. That means you can pray yourself out of any tight corner. You can. There is no tight corner you cannot pray yourself out of. That's what he's saying. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 11. Pastor Peter read the Message translation. For this cause I bow my knees. So you know that going to pray, you are going with a guarantee. This is not trial and error. It's a guarantee. Don't say, yeah, but Pastor, I've been praying. Well, you're about to get yourself straightened out as a study about prayer. You will learn how to do it. I mentioned one just a while ago. Heartfelt, continued. Do you know some people are praying? If you were God, you know everyone's answer yourself. You not. You will not. They say pray. Pray for the second half of the year. People are burning Kalebokaya. Are praying. And someone sign like this. Oh Lord, second half of the year. Bless me. Bless me, Kalebo. Bless me. That guy has not called me. In his mind, that's the thought. The guy has not called me. He promised he was going to call me. He has not called. Foolish boy. He has not called. And you are praying. If you are God, you will not answer. He said, the earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of the righteous makes tremendous power available. Dynamic is working. All right, let's read this. He said, because you know that this extraordinary day is just ahead. We pray for you how many? All the time. We pray. I love the next thing. He said, pray. Pray that our God will make you fit. Amen. Now, you see, when you read this, don't assume there's a Paul praying for you. You remember, he said, Epaphras, who is one of you, praying for you. Epaphras is dead. Have I ever told you? Epaphras is dead. That Colossians saw prayer. He said, Epaphras, who is one of you, always laboring fervently in prayers, that you stand perfect and complete in all of the will of God. When you read that, you're encouraged. But you see, you have not learned the lesson. If you forget that Epaphras is dead, he died about 2,000 years ago. The lesson from there is, labor fervently for yourself and for those God has committed to you, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Tap your neighbor, Epaphras is dead. Say, Paul has gone to be with the Lord also. So put yourself on the driver's seat of this verse. He said, pray that our God will make you fit for what he has called you to do. I could spend the entire service on this. He said, pray that our God will make you fit for what he has called you to do. You see, this generation makes a lot of noise about good ideas, about vision, about intention. Are you kidding me? About purpose, about assignment, about what they are called to do. Hear me, that's what he's saying. He said there's such a thing as spiritual fitness for what you are called to do. That means you can stand and watch the years pass without scratching the surface of what you are called to do. Say, God forbid. And I forbid. He said, pray that our God will make you fit for what he has called you to be. Actually be. You see, that a footballer, not every footballer is fit for the match. There's such a thing as, you see, someone can be on the bench for 2 years. It has not changed the fact that he's a footballer. But he's not fit for the match. until that excess fat or that injury is taken away. Are you with me? He's saying this is the same thing spiritually. That through prayer, you are made fit for what God has called you to be. You are fit. You are positioned. You are trim, proper, prim and proper. Hallelujah. Fit for the job. Fit for the job. You are crying, Lord, give me a husband. Lord, give. Now you are married. You are not fit as a kingdom wife. Lord, give me wife, give me wife. Now you are married. You are not fit as a kingdom husband. No, it sounds funny, but it's true. It's true. You are carrying spiritual excess fat. He's dragging you. You are not fit. You agree with me that you can't play football with pot belly, for example. Pastor, you say the ball will play you. Fit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hear me. What does this mean? The next time you think about, look, this is what I ought to be doing. This is the vision before me. But it seems I don't even have the faith for it. It seems I can't carry myself to get it done. Remember the scripture. Prayer makes you fit for what he has called you to be. Next part. Pray that he will fill your good ideas and acts of faith with his own energy. So it's prayer that makes the energy available so that it all amounts to something. Good ideas, acts of faith, without this energy amounts to nothing. For this cause, I bow my knees. I wish this church is not sleeping. For this cause, I bow my knees. Let me give you more reasons to pray. Number one, prayer is breathing. Luke chapter 18, verse 1. Prayer is breathing. Prayer is breathing. Prayer is breathing. Luke chapter 18, verse 1. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, for this purpose. This is the rationale behind the parable, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Listen, prayer is the spiritual ventilating system of your human spirit. That means prayer is to your spirit what the respiratory system is to your body. That's what he's saying. Praying is breathing. He said he spake a parable to them to this end, that men ought always to pray. That men ought always to pray and not to faint. So he's saying the opposite of prayer is not prayerlessness. It's fainting. It's fainting. It's fainting. You are not ventilating. In Nigerian parlance, now who they pray, they breathe. They say who they breathe. Now who they pray, they breathe. That means prayerlessness is choking. It's spiritual choking. That means every time small thing you are agitated, little thing you are depressed, you are seeing yourself cranky here and there, you are not breathing. That's why. You see life choking you, situation choking you. The problem is not the problem. The problem is you are not breathing. Something happened to your spiritual ventilating system, which is prayer. That's why. That's why. And just like natural respiration, the oxygen comes in to revive and revitalize your cells. And carbon dioxide must go out. That means that which you don't need must go out. It's the same thing with prayer. When you pray, you receive heavenly allocations. When you pray, you are refreshed. When you pray, you are rejuvenated. When you pray, you are revived. When you pray, you are strengthened. And guess what? The things you don't need on the inside starts going out. Prayer is inhaling and exhaling. You will see habits die in the place of prayer. Why? Is the carbon dioxide you don't need. You see terrible attitudes die in the place of prayer. Prayer is breathing. That means this is not even success and failure now. This is survival. He's a survivor. At the basic level, prayer is survival. And some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. You've been in places when it was as though life was sniffing life out of you. Circumstances were knocking life out of you. Sometimes you can't even explain what's going on. Return to prayer. He spake a parable to them to this end, for this purpose, saying men ought always to pray and not to faint, not to gasp for air, not to choke. They ought always to pray. Tap your neighbor, say prayer is breathing. Yeah. Tell them now who they pray, they breathe. I can't hear you. Tell them now who they pray, they breathe. Hallelujah. You see, I've always said this. The challenge is not the challenge. The challenge is who is facing the challenge. You see, in Matthew chapter 7, is there? Matthew chapter 7, 24 to 27. Jesus gave a story about two kinds of people. He gave an illustration. He said, whosoever hears my word and doeth them, I will liken him unto a man who built his house upon the rock. And he that heareth, okay. He said, and the rains came, the floods came, the winds came, and beat upon that house. And it did not fall, for it was founded upon the rock. The next person he talked about, he said, he that hears my word and does not do them, I will liken him unto a man that built his house upon the sand. The rains came, the floods came, the winds came. And what happened? The house fell because he built it on the sand. Here is the lesson. Both of them were building. Or both of them built. Number two, they were exposed to the same circumstances. You can go home and read it again. The rains came, the floods came, the winds blew. And that talks about the curved balls of life, the unpleasant circumstances of life, the things that life throws at us, that the environment where we live in throw at us, the things that come to everyone. Like they did these two men, but what was the difference? Their practices. Are you here? That's the difference. Their practices. You know, people like to blame everything else apart from the main thing to blame. Have you noticed? If only I was not born with this deformity, and you are in Christ, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. All things are passed away. What does the verse mean to you? If only I was born into a better family, keep quiet. There were people born to worse families who thrived. If only I have good friends, keep quiet. Go. There's what we call root cause analysis in business. You see, Go to the root cause. He said that men ought always to pray and not to faint. When you write this song, I'm choking because I'm not praying, you will find a cause to pray. And you see, we learn this from the early church. Always have a prayer response to every challenge. Glory zone. Always have a prayer response to every challenge. And that's what Paul was saying. He said, everything by prayer. Everything by prayer. Ibakopa. Everything by prayer. Because it's either prayer is the key or the hand that holds the key. It's either prayer is the key or as you pray, the key will come to you. Oh, Kabalaba. It's either prayer is the direct key or as you pray, instruction, wisdom will be distilled in your spirit. But in everything by prayer. By prayer. You see why Satan fights your prayer life. And you see why you must kill anything and everything that fights your prayer life. Because whatever comes for your prayer life has come for your life. It's your life. Prayer is... No. Can somebody say, okay, guy, I'm joking. And then he holds your trachea. He holds your neck and presses it. I say, I can't breathe. He said, "No, I'm joking. I'm just playing with you." That is not a joke. That is not a joke. Let me ask you a question. Hand on your trachea is an emergency, true or false? The same way, anything dragging your prayer life is an emergency. Must be handled as an emergency. Because prayer is breathing. Let it be work. Let it be association, relationship. Plus taking care of children. Are you with me? Don't give excuse. Look for somebody, pray them, keep these children. Okay, of course, don't just, not the stranger, amen. Let me say it properly. Look for people you can trust. And two, amen, not one. Amen, not one, two. No matter how I love you, I can never leave my children. How we love you, can never leave our children with you alone. It's not possible, except we're just going out. Not a whole day alone, it's not possible. For what? There has to be a second person. Are you here? That's talk for another day. That's talk. Some of you were broken as children because your parents did not have skill for parenting. And it's something you must correct. It's something you must correct. How did a 4-year-old and 5-year-old have access to pornography? How did it happen? Skill. No oversight. Do you know what that means to that child's future? Do you have the slightest idea? Of course, our generation cannot be naive. Always be suspicious. Always. It's part of parenting. What are people doing? What's up? Do you understand? Oh, you think I'm joking? You have prayed, but always be on the alert. You know why? There is war concerning your children. Satan has drawn the battle line. I'm so okay, they are just children. They are just children. Some of you know what I'm talking about. You are unfortunate, but thank God for the power of God. Some of you were exposed to pornographic materials as early as 5, 6, 7. Research has shown that. Because of the switch and the ubiquitous access to the internet, a lot of parents, especially in Africa, were not positioned mentally to know what was going on. So you had kids with tabs, and the tabs are connected online. And the developers of the app, sponsored by the Antichrist spirit, have programmed them for facial recognition. So when your child is looking at it, adverts that are demonic pop up. When you take the same cartoon and you're watching, nothing pops up. I've told you before. You can go and try it. Hallelujah. How did I get there? Prayer is breathing. Prayer is breathing. For this cause, I bow my knees. I bow my knees. I bow my knees. Breathe. You see, your mind is getting... Excuse me. Your mind is getting choked. Anxiety. Listen, don't see. I've told you, fear is not the feeling to be managed. It's a spirit you must bind and cast out. Don't see depression and it's just normal mental health. I'm just having little mental health issues. No, you are not breathing. That's why. I've told you before, praying in tongues is your number one antidepressant. Number one. Listen, there's a direct correlation between your prayer life and your mental health. Write it somewhere. There's a direct correlation, connection between your prayer life and your mental health. There is. I just give you an instance from Acts 16. At midnight, they had flogged them. Their feet were in the stocks. They began to pray. That's a good time to get depressed. Do you know that? I mean, for doing the right thing, you were flogged. You were chained, hands and feet. That's a good time to be depressed. But what was their response? Prayer. They began to pray until the burden was lifted. And then the spirit of praise You know, in Isaiah, what did he say? He said, he'll give you the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Can you see? The spirit of heaviness. You call it depression. The prophet called it the spirit of heaviness. Who is right? See, doctors. Yeah. They call it epilepsy. We call it a demonic spirit. A convulsing spirit. An epileptic spirit. You are saying, no, you just have been abnormal electrical firing in the brain. How did it happen? You know, two Sundays, upper Sundays, I believe, I'm going to teach you winning invisible battles. You see, the things people have, I say from this month, your life will shoot up. You hear people saying, demonic activity, they say is a paranormal. They say it's a English. It's just a paranormal phenomenon. Bros, this is demonic. It's not paranormal phenomena. This is demonic. Cast the demon out. Why do you have electrical impulses firing randomly, uncoordinatedly? Somebody is triggering it. Do you understand? And it has a reading. That's to show you that's an architect. The law of intelligent design. He convulses every morning or every time something big is about to happen. You are saying what? Is a spirit. You bind it and cast it away. Say, prayer is breathing. Say, for this cause I bow my knees. Hallelujah. Nobody is too civilized to breathe. It's just survival. So don't be too sophisticated to pray. For this cause, bow your knees. Don't be too sophisticated to pray. Don't be. Private prayer, corporate prayer. I saw a quote online recently. They say, prayer looks unserious until serious people get into trouble. You understand? They say, prayer is for, it looks like it's for serious people until serious people enter into trouble. You understand that logic? Don't be too sophisticated to pray, because nobody is too sophisticated to breathe. Prayer is breathing. Number two, prayer is breaking and building. Prayer is breaking and building. I like this one. You can put the scriptures up. Prayer is breaking and building. You see, many people underestimate the power of words, actions, and utterances in their background. Now, the ability of those things, where you are coming from, what you have done, what was done on your behalf, what was said to you, the power of those things to affect the future, many, many believers underestimate it. Let me tell you, words are not nothing. Some of you don't know the things you break by your consistent life of prayer and breaking bread at the communion table. You see, when things are said to you, except you know better, except you come with the rod of a higher priesthood, don't assume that they are not nothing. Are you with me? Or when you come from certain lineages where maybe your grandfather or your great-grandfather did certain things to people. You see, I heard a story of a man, he was almost in his 40s already. He's the last born. There are 8 children. None of them, 1 to 8, has had a child. None. 8 children. He was in his 30s or 40s. Yeah, I think he's 40s. He's the last born. Do you understand? No. You think that's normal? Projections from the background. Demonic projections. After a meeting, and the man of God prayed for him, and he went, carried those words and prayed and fasted over them. One day, he had a dream of the night. He saw a big iroko tree, okay, that was cut down. If I remember the dream, but an important part of the dream was, iroko tree not cut. They were throwing gifts from the tree, and there was an old, very old man who was always catching all the gifts, and he caught one, and the woman said, "Bring it." And he said, "No, not this time." He woke up. His wife got pregnant. and give birth. His last born. Do you understand? Lakopeto sike proper. You see, Apostle Igbafe used to say this years ago. People used to laugh. You see, he says, you are in Africa. You are in Africa. To think that he's exaggerating means you don't have spiritual intelligence. Environments are not the same. Listen, and it's something you can experiment. There are certain seasons, if the spiritual gatekeeper of a family dies, you see the door open to all kinds of strange things. And the same thing with cities, the same things with nations. Yokucho gave example of a missionary who came to Korea to preach, and he just spoke simply, and the power of God was everywhere. People were getting healed, getting saved. I say, Kai, he was coming from Germany that has been locked under the chains of communism, an antichrist, anti-God system. And he said, Kai, the atmosphere of Korea is open. Yogisho say, yes, I know. We have prayed for decades. Are you with me? That means it was easier to get healed in Korea than in Eastern Germany in those days. There was a man, an evangelist, who was preaching to someone. There's a road that divides Argentina from Brazil. He was in Argentina. He was preaching to someone. Give your life to, the guy was agitated and angry and said, get out of his face. He doesn't like God. And then after the guy crossed the border to the other country, to Brazil, the same person went and met him. He said, hey, I want to talk to you about Jesus. He said, okay, Jesus. Okay. Why? The two countries don't have the same spiritual atmosphere. Listen, through prayer, you generate your spiritual atmosphere. You create, you break negative ones and build new ones. Remember, I was talking about the power of projections. It's no joke. It's not English that will break them. It's the power of prayer. It's the power of prayer. You think it's a joke that your classmate in SS3 or in primary 6 told you, you are dull, you are a dummy. You see, don't assume it has gone. If you think it's still there, you will pray it out. Until you are convinced that you have a sound mind. Until you are convinced that you have sophronismus. Are you with me? Some of you grew up in a house where your mom told you, you are dull. You are dull, Agbaya. You are Oloshi. You are, all kinds of things were said to you. You see, you are sinking into your subconscious. It's going to take the power of prayer to break it. Or a lady, or a man who was sexually abused as a child. It is not by sitting at Oprah's show and discussing your experience that you break the mold of that influence. Are you with me? You go into the place of prayer. You receive capital from your prophets. And go into the place of prayer with those capital or prophetic utterance and break the mold. Prayer is breaking. What of Jabez? Jabez, first Chronicles. You can put a scripture of Jabez, first Chronicles chapter 4, 9 to 10. The name was sorrowful. The fingerprint of that utterance was everywhere around him. Even though he was doing well in the different areas of his life, he was a man who caused sorrow. And he went to God and said, they have named me sorrow, but I know there is a God that answers prayers. I wasn't there where the utterance was made, but there's a God that answers prayer. He said, unto him shall all flesh come. He said, oh God, that you will bless me indeed, that you will enlarge my territory, that I will no longer cause sorrow. And the Bible says, God heard his prayer. Prayer is breaking. It's breaking. Yes, sir. Satan has lodged a thought in your mind, and you have not seen over the years that you can never have a good home. Maybe because of the home you are coming from, that you can never be prosperous, that you can never live a righteous life. You will pray. The Bible says, as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered. You will pray the mold of background. You will pray the mold of demonic utterance. You will pray the mold of negative influences over your mind, over your family. Are you with me? In the place of prayer, you will break it until it has no hold on you anymore. Never underestimate the power of the things that happen in your background. Never. Rather, step into God. Step into the inner chambers. Understand the protocol of prayer, the protocol of the sacred place. Enter into that place and do business in deep waters until you overturn the mountains that limit you. Don't speak English away. No. I told you, have a prayer response. In case you didn't hear, what that means is when anything is happening around you, it is spiritual. It is spiritual. It is not paranormal. When things are happening that are not consistent with the word of God, don't say this is just paranormal. No. It is spiritual. Your husband didn't like alcohol before. Suddenly he started coming home with alcohol. Don't say he's just under stress. No. A demon has opened a window. You will put on you for this course. I bow my knees. You will bow your knee until you close that portal. Yes, sir. You will close it. Suddenly all your children are falling sick. Don't say it's the weather. No. You know, if a boss will say sickness is incipient death, you may be speaking English, it's just depression, it's just simple mental health. One day you start thinking of suicide, you carry rope to hang yourself. God forbid. For this cause I bow my knees. Never give Satan a foothold. Prayer is breaking and building. He's breaking and building. He's breaking and building. Ashkepetoski lebrobedile koska. What of Jacob? What of Jacob? He can put the scriptures off. Both his name and his experience have programmed him for instability and failure. Until he met the God of Bethel. He was at Peniel. He called the place Peniel. The Bible says, for there he wrestled with a man. We need to read the scriptures. He said, for there. Genesis 32, 24 to 29. And Jacob was left alone. This is a posture of prayer. There are times you have to be left alone. Don't like people too much. Eh? Don't like people. Let me tell you. One person came out to marry you, left. The other person came out to marry you, left. The third person, no, don't say, no. And it's not time to cry. You will be left alone. Are you with me? You will be left alone, meaning you will find a place of prayer. He said he was left alone. His name means deceiver, swindler. That's what it means. In his experience, he too has been swindled. He thought he was a swindler until he met postgraduate swindler. His name was Laban. He was still in primary school. He was in primary school. When Laban was done with it, he changed his wages 10 times. Until he knew, look. Look, Alekepaya. Until he remembered the covenant. Are you with me? After he was done with Laban, he was returning and he remembered Esau, his brother. Epakotepeta. I said, prayer is breaking. Prayers, he was tired. How many of you are tired? You are saying, Lord, I want a new leaf, a new chapter of my life to open. You don't speak English. For this cause, I bow my knees. You find a strong why. You know, there are people that say, this young man has potential. This young lady, she has potential. They are telling you potential, you are 40. They are telling you potential, you are 50. For this cause, I bow my knees. You will go into the place of prayer and turn that potential into results. Don't tell me I have potential for global ministry. Which potential? I want results. I will turn it. Don't tell me I have potential to be wealthy. Which potential? See the way which potential? Go be left alone. Convert potential to tangible realities. I say he has potential. She has potential. Don't bask in those English. Of you know, have you ever met people? They always have vision. I'm going to have an airline. airline. She's been saying it for 15 years. He has not bought a keke to put on the road. Ladies, I've told you, there are men like that. Never marry them. Do you understand? Never. No, I'm telling you the truth. I know what I'm telling you. The guy, you, after your fourth child, you still not have bought a bicycle. You will say he wants to do airline business. How do you know people that are going somewhere? They are full of vision. What is the proof of vision? They are ready to start small. Which airline do you want to start? Buy keke and put on the road first. Which nonsense airline? Are you here? by the way, not potential. You'll be left alone. Left alone. And Jacob was, are you blessed? Shout, I'm blessed. And Jacob was left alone. And then he wrestled with a man until the breaking of the day. Keep reading. Keep it going. Until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint. And he wrestled with him. Next verse, we're reading to 29. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let you go except you bless me. I said, prayer is breaking and building. I will not let you go. This is a prophetic drama that paints a picture of supplication, of prayer. And the prophet is going to explain it later. Next verse, 28. And he said, thy name shall no more be called Jacob, but Israel. There was a change of identity. As he prayed, the fashion, the fashion of his countenance was altered. There was a change of identity. Oh, prayer. It doesn't matter what they have signed against you. It doesn't matter the conclusions of men for you, for your family. No. You will go into the place of prayer and akepa. And you will insist that the signature of God's power, of Yahweh's glory, will be imprinted upon your life and destiny. And you will come out a changed man, a changed woman. He said, your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince, as a prince, thou hast power with God and with men, and thou hast prevailed. This is how we prevail. I've told you, the Bible says, is any afflicted, let him gist. Is any stuck, let him make phone calls. You feel stuck in your business, in your relationship, in your career, in your marriage, and you are gisting. He said, let him pray. Be found alone. Find somewhere alone. Lekopatike puto. He shepherd. He said, for as a prince, you have power. Wapakapaya. You have power. What is the way to power? Wrestling. Wrestling. Hosea chapter 12, verse 3 and 4. He gives the explanation of what happened between Jacob and the angel of the Lord, which is a theophany. This was the Lord himself that he wrestled with. Hosea chapter 12. He said he took his brother by the heel in the womb, and by his strength he had power with God. Next, he explains in verse 4. Are you ready for this? Yay! He had power over the angel. He's explaining Genesis 32. He had power over the angels and prevailed. Column explanation. He wept and made supplication unto him. He found him in Bethel, and there he speak with us. That means that wrestling was a wrestling of supplication. That's what the prophet is saying. He was a wrestling of supplication. For no man can prevail against God except in prayer. Have you ever read about Zechariah? A major prophet came and said, prepare your house for you would die. But he knew how to wrestle with God. He turned to the world and began, he entered the court of heaven and began to present supplication, to present his strong point unto the Lord head, and sent the same prophet. He met him by the outer court. He said, Isaiah, I have found a man that can pray. I have found a man that can prevail. I have found a man that can move my hand. Go back and tell him, I have added 15 for this cause. I bow my knees. How hungry are you for revival upon this city, upon this generation? How hungry are you for revival, especially the kind of revival that the Holy Ghost has spoken to us about at Glory Zone? He said, he told us, he said, the end time revival shall be fire on the mountains. That means revival in politics, revival in finance and economics, revival in sport and entertainment, revival in fashion, revival in education. It will not happen by English. It will not happen by good intention. For this cause, you will bow your knees. You say, Lord, give me education. Oh, like Caleb. You say, Lord, give me this mountain.
Give me this mountain. Give me this mountain. The system of education in Nigeria will not die because God sent me. Politics will be sanctified because God sent me. You said, give me this mountain for this cause. I bow my knees. God told you, you'll be a financier of the gospel. 1 million you can't find to give. What are you going to do for this cause? For this cause. Don't say, as I do business. No. You will give it a prayer route. A capeto kepa. Shepeto. As you pray and fast, money will start precipitating from the earth. Aya. Money. Money. Resources will precipitate. Shkapato skiata. Shkapeto leprebeti. Punta. Let's say you were born with sickle cell. Ebakaya. And there is no medical cure. Who told you there is no cure? Who told you there is no cure? For this cause, I bow my knees. You'll be left alone. And you will come out with answers. You'll be left alone. And you will come out with results. You'll be left alone. And you will come out with peace. You'll be left alone. You will come out with shalom. Ah, for this cause, I bow my knees. I bow my knees. Darkness has invaded your family and you are speaking English. The force of hell has opened its mouth against your house, your extended family, and you are keeping quiet. For this cause, I bow my knees. Shaka patoliba leprebatos kilama jepetonde kapa himakopa. It's about Daniel as a prophet to the nations to tear down, to kick down, to destroy. He said, and to build. Shkipa, Ika, how will you do it? Prayer, prayer, prayer. For this cause, I bow my knees. I would that God will give you a burden in this service, a burden to pray, a fire to pray. Oh, yes, there's a cause. Everyone under the sound of my voice, you have a cause for which you can bow your knees. You have a reason to pray. Your siblings are not born again. Your house just have a few persons who know the Lord, and carnality has set up its office in your family. For this cause, you will bow your knees. You will say, Lord, no more. No more. Christ is king in my home. Christ is king in my extended family. From grandfather down. For this cause. Imako patileka. Henge tolo bradilekapa. Selika. Imakopa. Your prayer life is going down. And you are giving excuses. No, for this cause. Bow your knees. That you'll be a man, a woman who is permanently on fire. Himakopato, as a kingdom envoy, permanently on fire. Shkapetola priata, delikondos kopradili, shteleperenokoski, abileko, lepronda kopata, ikapa. You begin to lay new foundations, yes. New foundations, new foundations. As a prayer is building, you say, you beloved, building up yourself on your most holy faith, rise like an edifice, higher and higher, praying in the Holy Ghost. Skepeto, listo vrapeton de kista, skabatole pele kepeto. Hima kopetisa, shepetonta, hima kopeto, jelika pronde, zekepetolaba. For this cause, I bow my knees. Shkepetolaba, zula prende kepa, hima kopa, jelima kopotoya, zelibo kopetelia kopa, jukepetole keprepeta, zelika prombe kopaya. Is to bodokiki shkepetola pribeko ila kopata. While you are standing, let me give you the third one. Kai 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 kai. You see, how do you break the assault of darkness over your life? His prayer, your life, your family, his prayer.
he will rise and break the assault, demonic assault launched at you, at that business, at the church, at the ministry. You will break it. It's your prayer. You know, Dr. David Oyedepo said in Kaduna, the church was not growing. They have done everything. The church was not growing. And then he went to fast and pray. And the Lord told him to come out. When he came out, he saw a dark cloud. He saw a dark cloud over the church. In fact, most of you, that's the story most people know. The other part of it was this. When people started coming, God told him, he said, dissipate the cloud. Of course, through prophetic declaration, the cloud disappeared. Amen. Through prayer and fasting. Now, the second part of it is this. When people started coming, they say, this is a word of faith church. We thought it was a white garment church. Listen, that means part of Satan's assault over your life, ministry, business is misrepresentation. Unholy rumors. Somebody wants to marry you and somebody goes to talk to him. Say, that lady, she's very rude. She's very rude. That's misrepresentation. You carry yourself with holiness. They say, that lady, for God, they talk, she's like a prostitute. She likes men very well. Misrepresentation. But in prayer, kapetusa, adele kopotosia. And how can they represent a word of faith church as a white garment church? Demonic rumors. Kai, let me not go ahead. This month, you are emerging forcefully. Just give me your ears and your time. You break the circle of the assault of Satan, of darkness over your life to prayer. You break it. Number three, prayer is birthing. You can stand. Prayer is birthing. Birthing, to birth. Birthing means to bring forth something new. I wish I had time. To bring forth something new. Abetos kapa. Emsheli kapa. You see, the real things in life are birthed. They are birth. At best, men can give you cups and buckets of water, but out of your belly shall flow rivers of living waters. That means the big deal is within you. Yes, men can give you buckets of water, cups of water, tanks of water at best, and you can rejoice and celebrate. That's wonderful. But the Bible says, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living waters. That means the major things are within you. They are within you. They are within you. How do you bring them out? Prayer. Oh, prayer. What we call Azusa Street Revival was born by William J. Sermon. He was born. For years, he had been praying. Is it 7 hours every day? And then he met John G. Leake. And when I was talking, he said, I've been praying for the past, I can't remember how many years, for 7 hours every day. And the Lord is telling me to increase it to 9 hours. And he will come. You see, it's from the crucible of that birth pant. Everybody here is a product of Azusa Street Revival. All the Pentecostal move in the world, charismatic move, we came out of the womb of an intercessor. A man who knows he can birth a new dispensation by the promptings of the Spirit. He yielded. Do you know what it means to pray 7 hours every day? That means your life was consumed. And that's what ministry. Listen, ministry is not pulpit. Ministry is priesthood. If it has not consumed you, you are not in ministry. It is priesthood. 7 hours, then 9 hours. Then Azusa Street came out. Azusa Street came out. Out of your belly shall flow rivers. Stop looking around. Are you with me? This person is supposed to help me. This person doesn't know he's supposed to give me money. So you are wasting time. You're wasting time. You're looking for a cup of water. When you bring out the river, it will float everything you need and bring them to you. You know, river, they carry people. He says, out of your belly. Prayer is birthing. I'm giving you a strong why for prayer. Some of you from today, Sunday evening, some of you, you will disappear somewhere to pray. Don't wait till tomorrow. Don't wait. It is a waiting that brought you to where you are. Don't wait. You disappear somewhere, 3 hours. For this cause, I bow my knees. I bow my knees. And I'm Simeon. Condition the birth, the seasons of the Messiah. I don't have time for the scriptures. You can go to Luke chapter 2, 25 to 37. And they prepare the path. They birth a new dispensation. Listen, you see, this whole thing of, okay, I've been praying and nothing has happened. Therefore, you are getting discouraged. Is unbiblical. Is immature. Are you with me? Who told you it's only your need you were praying for? Who told you? Why not tarry longer and birth a dispensation? You see, when a dispensation comes out, like Jesus said, the birds of the air will come to make their nest on it. That means you become a covering for many. You become a habitation for many. And this is not by head calculation. You bet it in prayer. And this is not looking for prophet A, prophet B, prayer partner A, prayer partner B. No, if you're in this church, don't go and look for prayer partner outside. Look for prayer partner inside. Know what I'm telling you, so that they don't sabotage your effort. Are you with me? You will pray until a new dispensation is born. Until a new dispensation in that business is born. In that family is born. You see, some of the prayer burdens you have is not just for you. It's not just for the need you are looking for. It's for the years to come. For the entire family, entire city, entire institution, entire industries. So you not say, oh, I prayed. I did 3 days very fast. Nothing changed. Continue. You have not born it. That's why. Let me speak Nigerian English. If you born Pekin, would you see the Pekin? You never born her. When you give birth to it, it will be obvious. Are you with me? God told you are going to shape the culture in this generation. And you are not seeing a born it. Born it. God spoke to you about a new season in your family. I'll give you prophetic declaration. What I'm doing is I'm giving you capital to trade with. In case you don't know, that's what prophetic utterance is. It's capital to trade with. Yes, it's capital. Parade. It's my year of the emergence. And by the way, this is our month. Oh, our time is gone. This is our month of divine visitations. For this cause, I bow my knees. For this cause, I bow my knees. For this cause, I bow my knees. Don't look up and down. Don't look for a bucket when you can have rivers flow out of you. Ah, hallelujah. In conclusion, as I hurry to conclude, anybody can pray and have answers to their prayers. Just be persuaded about God's blood covenants to answer prayers. Be persuaded about the possibilities of prayer. I've given you just a few. Be persuaded about the power of prayer. Prayer will change your life. I tell you the truth, I lie not. I say, Master, I want to pray. And so, one of the ways to begin, next week we'll teach you about building a prayer life. It's one of the ways to begin. One of the things, one of the years, taking advantage of corporate prayer. We call for total immersion. Why are you somewhere else? We call for all night. You think your prayer is a pastor? No. No. We are culturing you to bow your knees. We are culturing you for prayer. That's what we're doing. Until prayer becomes a second nature. Until prayer becomes a delight. Are you with me? Until you become, you know your destiny to be a savior. Is it out of Mount Zion, savior shall arise. Yes, saviors. Prayer is birthing. I hope on Tuesday I will complete that. Prayer is birthing. Prayer is birthing. Prayer is birthing. Wait till you are born. You see, there are 3 things that characterizes birthing. I have to say that as a close. Number 1, pain. Number 2, new things. Number 3, joy. That means you must experience these 3 things in prayer to birth. There must be pains, birth pangs. Oh yes, birth pangs. Birth pangs. Your body doesn't like to fast, but you will fast it. Some of you, this month, so you must do your first 3 days prayer and fasting if you have not done it before. This month is compulsory. No food. In fact, for some of you, no water. Just, it's not a hot place. Amen. Bring something out. Out of your belly, rise to your feet. Rivers. 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 Kaya Baba. Oh, this time consciousness. Oh, this time that we are looking at. If I take your time, I see this pastor. And 9 o'clock to 12 o'clock. Service has not finished. You see, there are times where there are things the Spirit of God wants to dissipate. Trust me. Wants to dissipate. So don't be quick to judge pastors. Okay, it's 12 o'clock. The people are invited. They say church should not be too long. You that are invited, that you are complaining. How do you want your life to change? If Babalai will tell you to stay in one place for 7 hours every Sunday, you will do it through all of us. And so, who has bewitched Christians? Small thing. The service is not sharp like the church I used to know. The church you used to know is preparing you for your needs and preparing you for your future. Are you with me? And that's going to cost sometimes. I tell you the truth, I lie not. You can write it somewhere. 40 minutes message every Sunday can never build any Christian. Amen. Never. Never. Let me not say Christian. Even if you are a non-believer, you can never change your life. Are you with me? Say amen. Amen. He that believes on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living waters. These are months of divine visitation. Can I get an amen? Amen. We're going to take communion. Can we be on our feet? Can we be on our feet? The fire of prayer is here. Please give me more time. Speak in tongues. You can't hear a word like this. Just speak in tongues. If you can't speak in tongues, say, Lord, touch me. If you can't speak in tongues, let your faith reach out to receive. Is a month of divine visitations. There shall be encounters of the God kind. There shall be supernatural encouragement in the name of Jesus. And I'll just read two scriptures. Genesis 18, 10 to 14. The verse 14, the Lord had told them, he said, at this time from verse 10, I'll return, I'll visit you, and Sarah shall have his son. Okay? And then verse 14, in between, Sarah laughs, and verse 14 says, is anything too hard for the Lord? What is saying, when God visits, long-standing issues are resolved. If you're believing God to have your babies as a couple, when God visits, you have the baby. Whether you miss your period or not. I know what I'm telling you. Some will miss their period. Some will discover that they are 3 months pregnant before the period stops. Whichever one. Listen, in this month of July, do you believe I'm your prophet? One of the ways you believe is by how you jump at the words that I speak. I said in this month of July, and for the second half of this year, Jehovah will visit you. I said, Jehovah will visit you. And as he visits, long-standing heart desires, long-standing issues, long-standing expectations will be settled. I said, they will be settled. In the name of Jesus. Very quickly, Isaiah 64, 1 to 3. That one, what it says is, when God visits, even the things you are not looking for, he will do it. Yes. Who believes that? Yes. He says that I will then rend the heavens, that I will thus come down. Now, testament wise, And legally speaking, we're already living in this. But you see, experientially, it comes to prophetic utterance. Hallelujah. I said, God is visiting you this month. And the things you have forgotten, the things that are good for you, that you are not even looking for, Jehovah will do them. And you will share your testimonies in the name of the Lord Jesus. Some of you have had health conditions in your bodies that you have lived with, and as though it's becoming normal. I speak in the name of Jesus. Lega barakopetosa. In this month of divine visitation, the power of God will eject it out of your body. In the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. Father, we thank you. Father, we thank you. Jesus, we love you. Thank you for your body broken for us. As we do this, we remember your sacrifice. And we remember our victory. Remember that Jesus paid it all. We remember that we are victorious. We remember that you have put us over. We remember that nothing shall by any means hurt us. Remember that no enemy shall be able to stand before us all the days of our lives. Okebedo kapa. We know by your sacrifice, the hold of Satan is broken. Afflictions are ejected out of our bodies, out of our homes, out of our finances. In the name of the Lord Jesus. At this communion table, we receive strength for prayer. We receive revival fires. In the name of Jesus. Amen. I want to take this communion praying in other tongues as Tiope sings. Praying in other tongues. Amen. Praying in other tongues. Pouring your heart. Maximize the anointing here for this cause. Bow your knees. Ruach Elohim. Ruach Elohim. Spirit of the Lord. Ruach Elohim. Ruach Elohim. Fill this place.
Spirit of the Lord.
Lift your hands toward heaven.
Ruach Elohim. Ruach Elohim. Ruach Elohim. Ruach Elohim. Ruach Elohim. Ruach Elohim. Fill this
place. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, let the revival of prayer break out among us. In the name of the Lord Jesus. From this service and throughout the month, let it be an inoculation of your fire. In the name of Jesus, of every heart and of every life. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Beloved, we know you've been blessed by God's word today. For more life-transforming messages like this, you can visit our website, library.gloryzoneglobal.org, and you can also follow us on our various social media platforms on YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram at Glory Zone Church. Stay blessed.